to make room in our lives for the things of the God. Amen. We have to make room in our lives for the power of God to be able to do. I'm up here because I constantly keep leaving my Bible down there and I don't know where I look. Now I've got to ask people where my Bible is all the time. So I'm going to park it here. Is that all right? Actually, I'll park it down there because I don't really like being up. So we've got to make room for God. Amen. Make room in our hearts, make room in our lives, make room in our time. We've got to make room for God. And sometimes, just sometimes in life, we circumvent them things. A lot of times by the own words that come out of our own mouth. Your word, my words are very powerful things. Amen. So powerful, they can have influence on people that you're not around. My son came to me, Kenny came to me and said to me, he says, he was hearing, I think it was Emmy, and he was picking them up from school. And he said, and she shouts out, this driver wasn't driving too well. I have to admit, the road is my testing ground. No, I'm serious. The road, I see another side of me on the road. I don't like it, but by His grace, He's changing me. It's taken 30 years and I'm getting better. I think I'm getting better. Good. So Emmy's in the back of the car and this driver did something. She goes, what a first-class peanut. Jackson said that. What a first-class peanut. So Kenny goes, where do you hear that from? Oh, Granddad says it all the time. So he says, well, what makes the difference between a peanut and a first-class peanut? He said, there's a lot of difference, Dad. He says, some people are just peanuts. He said, but when they're first class, they're really bad. Then Emmy goes like this. Get a move on, right? You're that slow, you'll rust. That's one of my sayings. Any slower, you'll rust. And Kenny goes, where did you hear that from, Emmy? Oh, Granddad says it all the time. You're that slow, you'll rust. Another one is like, I'll say this, and they say this a lot. I've seen more go in a stop sign. Seen more go in a stop sign. And they say things, I wasn't there. It's surprising what comes out of your mouth that they pick up. And they might have only heard it two, three, well, probably for me a couple of dozen times a week. Yeah, anyway, he's working on me. But there is a residue that you can leave by the power of your words. Amen. Turn with me. The title of my message this morning is Make Room. Make room. I want us to understand we've got to make room for God to move. So often, sometimes what happens is this. We have an expectation on God. And then God help us, we actually try to make God do what I tell Him to do. And so He's not a God, He's not my God anymore, He's my genie. He is not that. He's almighty. He's awesome. He's the ruler. He's the king. And He deserves our worship. There's no way that you should ever make God fit your life. We fit into Him. Amen. And sometimes fitting into Him will cost me something. So in Exodus 6 and 9, it says this in New King James. So Moses spoke to the children of Israel, but they did not heed Moses because of anguish or shortness of spirit and cruel bondage. In the NLT, it says this. So Moses told the people of Israel what the Lord had said, but they refused to listen anymore. They become too discouraged by the brutality of their slavery. And some things in life, and life itself, can throw up challenges in us that can rob us of depth of spirit. And we can get an anguish of heart. It says, for a person who is short of spirit struggles to believe in what has been spoken and declared. Sometimes, just sometimes, we think what God has said doesn't mean what He's... We make an excuse for God. Well, that might be for... Oh, maybe they missed it, maybe whatever. That's not for me. Because they cannot see beyond their immediate problem. For the weight of their now moment of trouble robs them or stops them from looking up. Doesn't the Bible say look up from where your help comes from? But so often what happens is in our lives, including myself, what happens is we get so consumed in the now moment of trouble, we constantly concentrate on the trouble than on concentrating on God. Anyone been there? And we can become discouraged, disconnected from courage. Discouraged literally means to be disconnected from courage. Lacking hope and disheartened, that's literally what it means. A discouraged soul lacks hope. A discouraged soul. And if the enemy can do anything, he'll try and discourage me. He'll try and discourage me from stepping out. He'll try and discourage me from standing up. He'll try and discourage me from going from my comfort zone. Can you put the next one up, son? Going from my comfort zone. He tries to discourage me from dreaming. He'll discourage me from speaking. Don't say anything because you might upset them. He can discourage me from stepping out of my place of limitations. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God wants to encourage you. He wants you to get up, and me, get up. He wants me to step beyond my limitations of my mind. He wants me to walk in what He's declared and decreed, not what you want or think. There's a big difference. Please, just because you want something doesn't mean God's going to give you that something. He'll only give you what He's spoken. You might want a new car. Doesn't matter that you want it. It's what God wants. You might get a second-hand car. You might get no car. He might give you a bike. Will you still praise Him for the bike? So often we put conditions on God. Yet all the time He's trying to encourage us or stimulate us to build hope and confidence in God. He enables me to begin to speak by faith. Once you have courage, you start to speak by faith. You start to live by hope. My heart becomes enlarged by His promises and His purpose. Now, I am not a claimant, like, what's that word? Blab it and claim it. Well, blab it and grab it. I am not that. But I am this. If He has spoken something to me, I can rely on Him. If He has spoken something to me, whether through the word or directly through prophetic word or whatever, I can grab a hold of that and say, that is mine. Amen? And I know if you're His sheep here this morning, you have the capacity to hear His voice. He has never ever birthed a man or a woman without giving them something. You have something from God. And what happens is discouragement get around my soul and I can put that to one side and say, well, maybe that was not it. God is a God who cannot. My dilemma is, what season in my life are you going to bring forth it? That I may apprehend it for what He has apprehended me for. You've been apprehended for an it experience, whatever your it is. I don't know what your it is. You've got to find your it. But He's apprehended you for that, to fulfill something on this earth for His glory. Amen? Are you with me? to build one's faith, I've written it already for you, I must come to God and believe that He is. Hebrews 11. I must come to God and believe that He is. Believe He is what? God. Believe He is everything I need Him to be in my life. I've got to believe He's the solution to my problem. I mightn't enjoy the answer He gives me. I might like it. You know, when God says to me, stop calling people peanuts. I said, oh, all right. I'll call them cashews. He will whittle me down. But what it is, God wants to challenge me and change me. And sometimes, just sometimes in life, most of the time in life, I shouldn't say sometimes, He will not actually give you what you expect. If you ask God for a tree, He'll probably give you an acorn. He'll say, here's your tree. All you see is a seed. But what God sees is the tree inside the seed. How much can you see ahead? Because sometimes it never works out in my time frame. But He will always work it out for my good. In situations in life, sometimes the situations in life, I have to do nothing with the situation I'm in. The situation in life is to bring change to me. Change to me. Attitude. Attitude. I said to my Jackson the other day, I says, you know, Jackson, it's not about stuff. It's not about being right. It's not about being wrong. It's about doing life and having the right attitude. And he looks at me with this intent eyes, like absorbing stuff. I said, all about your attitude, son. Don't have to be right and you don't have to be wrong. Forget all that stuff. Attitude. Attitude, attitude, attitude. How are you going to treat the person that's hurting you? How are you going to bless those who've persecuted you? When someone's hurt you, are you going to run into the shop and hide behind the dressers in the shopping centre or in Woolies or look at an aisle or pretend you haven't seen them? Attitude. Am I going to walk in grace? I'm going to walk in mercy. I'm going to walk in love. Very hard to love the unlovely. In fact, it's a supernatural thing. You can't do it. I can't do it. My natural man would say to the unlovely, I'm going to smack you. But the spirit man says, love them. Love those who persecute you. Amen. So we've got to build ourselves up. So my heart can come enlarged. And I've got to believe who He is. He's the answer to my need. And through Him, and all things are possible through Him who believes. Through Him. Through Him. One of the greatest traps that Christians can have in their walk by faith is to have faith in faith. You can't have faith in faith. That's what gurus do. That's what people like parrots say. You have to have faith in God. Hear me, He's your source. Not by the confession of your mouth, He's your source. It has to be what He said. Are you with me? Therefore, once I have this hope rebuilt and encouraged in my heart and my soul, hope builds up and faith is the substance of things. Hope for. Glory to God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4, verse 19 to 22. This is talking about Abraham. Romans 4, 19 to 22. The reason I'm talking about Abraham, because he's the father of what? He's the father of faith. It says this. I'll read from verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. God, who gave life to the dead and caused those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, Abraham, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was what? So you heard a word. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. His weakness was his body. His weakness was his body. But all of us have some form of weakness. Abraham was not being weak in faith, did not consider his own problem or situation. Strong faith does not consider the problem. Strong faith doesn't consider the problem. Weak faith considers the problem. What I consider is what God is, who God is and what God said. That's what strong faith is. Strong faith is considering what God has said and declared. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already being dead. Since he was about 100 years old, or the deadness of Sarah's womb, the deadness of the situation. He did not consider the deadness of the situation. He considered what God has said is true. I want to say that again. He considered what God has said is true. It was accounted to him for righteousness. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. He strengthened his faith. One of the greatest ways you can strengthen your faith is giving glory to. So often we give glory to the situation. Well, if I wasn't going through this, my problem. You don't realize what I'm going through. You don't understand what my situation is. And all I'm doing is I'm speaking problem instead of solution. I say this sometimes to God, I don't know how you're going to do it. And I don't care how you're going to do it. I just believe you're going to do it because you've said it. And Lord, help my mind not to go there. Help my thinking not to go there. Because it's so easy to want to pick up the reins of life to drive what you need to go, where you need to go. It's so easy to pick up and say, God, give it to me. It's a bit too slow, this journey. I'll speed it up. And all I'm going to birth is an Ishmael. All I'm going to birth is an Ishmael. You've got to learn to enjoy the journey. You've got to learn to enjoy your circumstances. You've got to learn to enjoy your storm. You've got to learn to enjoy the shipwreck. You've got to learn to enjoy it. You've got to learn to say, God, in you do I trust. In your word do I trust alone. And Father, I will not be moved from your word. I will not be moved from the word. He is an anchor in my storm. Two houses are built, one in the sand, one on the rock. Two houses, both look good. No difference to be told. You can't tell the difference between the two houses until what comes along? A storm. A storm comes along. Do Christians suffer storms? You can talk a little bit louder, honestly. Christians do suffer storms. All the storm reveals, and all God allows the storm to do is reveal what? On what I've built on. On what I have built on. On what I have built on. He'll even allow me to build a house on the sand. They build a house on the sand. He'll even allow the house to be built on the sand. But oh, how great was that fall? Because that's all the storm does. All a storm does is reveal the foundation what I've been building on. Hallelujah. The qualification of faith is believing that God is able to perform what he has said, not what I have said. And faith can be strengthened by giving God glory through the vehicle of our worship. Unbelief makes me waver. Unbelief robs me from worship. One of the first things worship draws from you is his goodness. One of the first things worship desires from you is giving God thanks for the midst of whatever you're going through. Give him praise. Give him honor. Give him thanksgiving. No matter what's happening, he's worthy of my. Paul. David had to encourage himself in his soul. In the book of Psalms, he says, "Oh my soul, why are you disquieted yet within me? For yet I shall praise the Lord." He had to make a conscious decision. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. No matter what my situation, I will praise the Lord. Luke Leviticus 19, verse 19 says this, "And you shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your livestock breed with another kind. You shall not sow your field mixed with seed." What is coming out of my mouth? I cannot afford to sow seed in my ground that's of mixture. What is coming out of my mouth? He later goes on, he says, you shouldn't have linen and wool. Mixture. And one of the greatest negators of faith is what is coming out of your own mouth. How am I speaking? What am I speaking? What am I declaring? What am I speaking at home? How do I speak to my kids? How do I speak to my wife? How do I speak to my husband? What is coming out of my mouth? My words are seed, and my seed shall not be mixed. Let your yes be yes, and your no. He says, for anything else of this is sin. Our tongue must be wholesome in speech. Proverbs 15 and 4 says this, a wholesome tongue, and the Amplified says, with healing power, a wholesome tongue brings healing. Doesn't mean you agree with people. A wholesome tongue means there is no prejudice, there is no anger, there's no resentment, there's no forgiveness. A wholesome tongue. In other words, you want to see life come out of this situation. A wholesome tongue is free, is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. You and I have the capacity to break someone's spirit, more so if you are close to them. Most of the time, offense will come not from the outside. Most of your battle is not from the outside. Most of your battle is your home. Most of the time. Most of the battle is in the home. When one is shortness of spirit, it's because the weight of their burden has affected them. And words of discouragement and hopelessness start to come out of their mouth, affecting their faith and their trust in the one who's a solution to their problem. You ever been in so weighted down that sometimes you're saying, God, are you really there? Anyone ever said that? God, are you really there? Thank God. Not many people put their hand up, but I see them nodding. Speaking of these words from an anguished spirit causes me to lose focus and it hinders vision and purpose. Proverbs 18 and 6 says, a fool's lips enter into contention. So the minute I'm in contention with someone, the minute I'm in contention with my husband and wife or my kids, you're acting the fool. And I'm not saying that. The book says it. All right? So if you're contentious, and most of the reason we're contentious is because we want to be right. Oh, you know, I'm going to put one. I'm going to elevate one above that one. I want you to see that I'm right. Can you see that I'm right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Repeat it to me. And most of the times they want to do that is because they want to jump on you harder the next time. Contention. Contention, the Bible says. A fool's lips enter in contention and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is destruction and his lips are a snare to his own soul. Why would Solomon say something like that? Because what I sow, seed, I will what? What you sow, you shall. Mightn't be in the moment, mightn't be that week. But if there's not repentance, You will reap what you sow. Just ask Jacob. He had to meet his Laban. Amen. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that these things which you see were not made by things which were visible. Everything is framed and created by word. The world, your world, my world, my house, my family, that world is created and the atmosphere is created by what comes out of your own mouth. Hello. Vision is the conception of what God has purposed, but words are the birthing of it. So God will give you vision. God will give you promise. God will has an expectation for your life. But he expects you to start speaking that expectation and not the problem. He expects you to speak the solution. He expects you to walk out the solution and be the solution to a problem. Too many Christians and marriages are giving up. They're giving up. Or they have an expectation on their spouse. Me and my wife, we are one. We are one. But woe unto the day when she becomes my source. She is not my source. She is not my source of joy. She's not my source of peace. She's not my source of hope. She's my companion. She's my helpmeet in our walk together to work out the promises of God in our life to bless his kingdom. Amen. The minute I start drawing from them, you start drawing from a friend, and that friend becomes your best friend. That friend all of a sudden becomes not just a best friend, becomes like a soul tie. God will remove them. Because he doesn't want you to draw from anyone else but him. He has to be my source for everything. Turn with me to Mark chapter 5, verse 22 to 24. Here's his Jairus' daughter. It says this, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came to Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. If I want to restore and encourage my heart, I've got to come before him with a humble heart. He fell at his feet. He was a leader in the synagogue. He knew word. He knew stuff. But he humbled himself. And he begged him. He begged him. I was in India once, a long time ago. And there's beggars everywhere in India. You're starting to see them in Australia. Anyway, we won't go there. And I was in a village. And this woman was in this room, this massive big room in the middle of the village. It's more like a meeting place, actually. But it had an earthen floor and a candle. I reckon it was about 20 meters to get to the center. Huge place. And the pastor of the area said to me, he says, oh, she's sick. I said, I'll go and pray for her. He said, no. He said, pray from the door. He says, extremely sick. Pray from the door. I says, well, what's... supposed to lay hands on the sick, but anyway, I prayed from the door. And as I prayed, the woman sat up. Old lady sat up. And she got out of her headpiece a coin. Anyone remember a 1 cent piece? That size. And she threw it at me. He says, you need to pick it up. She'll be offended. So I picked it up. I said, I can't take this. He says, you better take it. So that's her day's pay. That's her day's pay. So I took it. And I gave it to these kids who thought it was Christmas. I shouldn't have done it because I just bought lollies. Then they asked me to pray over a well in the village. He says, everyone's getting sick. Can you pray for the well? So I looked at the well and it's level with the ground. And so the cows would come along and they'd urinate in it and do their business in it. And they're drawing from it. And they're wondering why they're getting sick. I said, I'm not praying for the well. So why are you not praying for the well? I said, lift it up 3 or 4 courses. I said, you won't have a problem. So they did. I said, keep the cows away from the well. Sometimes, you know, when you've got a situation, we don't need to hear God. He's already given you the wisdom to do it. Sometimes we go to God about it because we want another reason not to do it. There wasn't nothing wrong with the well. It's just how I built it. Oh, they built it. There's nothing wrong with your house. You just got to ensure it's on the right foundation. You got to use wisdom. Amen. I want to go a bit deeper. There's nothing wrong with your wife or your husband. You just got to build better. Amen. If you want to see change in your house, what am I speaking? What am I saying? Verse 38, Matthew 22 to 24. So Jairus' daughter was sick. He came to her. He came to Jesus. He begged him. He fell at his feet. Then he begged him. And when he had begged him, he said, my little daughter lies to the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. See the faith? She will live. So Jesus went with him and a great multitude followed and thronged about him. Jesus got interrupted on that journey by a woman with an issue of blood. She reached out by faith and got healed. She drew from him. He gets to Jairus' house. And all the people are wailing and screaming and moaning and groaning, doing all their stuff. Peter takes Peter, James, and John. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, says, come with me. Then he said to them, get out. Because this girl's not dead, she's just asleep. They mocked him. They scorned him. His own servant says, why are you troubling the teacher? Your daughter is dead. See, even in their own house, one of your greatest critiques will be the same person in the same house. So all of a sudden, he kicks these voices of unbelief out the door. He removes them. One of the greatest ways to stay in faith is to remove the voices of unbelief that are speaking to you out of your head. Get rid of them. Because the devil will speak to you like things like this. Why are you praying? Nothing's going to change. Anyone ever heard the devil say that? What's the point? I've been waiting for years for something to happen. What's the point? Even Jesus himself had to kick the voices of unbelief out of the room. Amen. Proverbs 12:25 says this, anxiety, fear, and heaviness of sorrow in the heart of a man causes depression. You hang around a person that's negative enough, you'll get negative. I have an old saying which I haven't told my grandkids. You're so negative you could develop in a dark room. But it's true. Some people are just so negative. All they talk about is problem after problem after problem after problem. And you might say to them, do you love Jesus? Yeah, I love Jesus, but isn't God so good? He's wonderful, but. So what happens is we make excuse after excuse and problem after problem. And what God's saying, how can I operate or how can I move? How can you operate in faith when you're talking problem? Proverbs 18, verse 21. Proverbs 18, 21. As Christians, we all should know the scripture. Proverbs 18, 21 says this, death and life are in the power of what? Now, let's go slowly. Death and life are in the what? So the tongue has what? Your tongue has power. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What do I want to live in? What do I want to live in? Life. Speak life. Matthew 9, 24 to 25 says this. He said to them, this is the same scenario with Jairus' daughter, make room. Make room, for the girl is not dead. She's just asleep. Make room. Sometimes you have to make room in your life. Sometimes you have to make room in your situation. Sometimes you have to make room for God to move. And that is by stepping out by faith. Stepping out. Believing what He has said. Not coming with a forked tongue. Not saying to your spouse or your husband, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, but if you do, or I need this. Conditioning my love. Hallelujah. Are we alive out there? Make room, allow your words to be wholesome. And see your God move on your behalf. Make room this morning to see your mountain be removed. Make room this morning to see your God move on your behalf. Make room. Put out the voices of unbelief. Make room in your life. Make room in your heart. Make room in your soul so God can move on your behalf. How do I know I've made room? By what's coming out of my mouth. Do you know your mouth is just a mirror of your heart? It's a reflector of the heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, if I refuse to live in life, what's the opposite of life? Do you want life in your house? What are you speaking? What am I decreeing? What am I declaring? What am I speaking to my kids? What am I speaking to me? What am I speaking to others? Matthew 11, 23 says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says, he will be done. He will have whatever he says. Whatever he what? Not thinks. So instead of going around a mountain for 40 years, wouldn't it be nice to see the mountain like plucked up by him, thrown in the sea, and I've just got a shortcut straight through? Eh? I'm doing a lot of walking lately. I don't know how big that mountain is, but the less steps I make, the better I think, as long as I can still lose my weight. I'd walk 2,000 steps, I can lose the same weight as I can walk for 15. I'm a man that loves the path of least resistance. If he can pluck that mountain out of my way, instead of me walking all the way around it, yes, Jesus, whatever it costs me, do it. Amen. Notice it says, he says, whoever he says, not what he thinks, but the word must be life and full of faith. So I want to encourage you this morning. If you feel discouraged, if you feel disconnected from courage, and that's exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to disconnect me from courage. He wants to disconnect me from courage. So I won't stand. I won't do. I won't dream. I won't speak. I won't step into my place of comfort. Disconnected from courage. But to be encouraged. You know, the first person that has to encourage you is you. If you're waiting for someone to come alongside you and say, you've done a great job this, well done, God bless you, you're so nice, you're so awesome, I think you're amazing, you could be waiting for eternity. Mind you, we'll go there. You've got to encourage yourself. Jude 1:20. Building yourself up in the most holy faith by speaking in the Spirit. If you don't know what to speak naturally, get in your prayer closet and start to speak in the things of the Spirit till courage starts getting into you and you're encouraged in the things of God and your mouth starts changing what it's saying. Come on now. I want to live life and life more abundantly, but it's conditioned on what comes out of my mouth. Hallelujah. That's my challenge this morning. What's coming out of my mouth? Am I prepared to make room for Him? Make room. Even Jesus had to kick them out the way. Make room. I'm going to go one step closer. If you're in wrong company that's constantly speaking negativity, maybe you need a break. Amen. Maybe you just need a break. If that person is your spouse, don't take a break. All right? Make a decision to change. And you will see your house flourish. Amen. And it can be tough. Hear me. It ain't easy. It's hard. It's hard when your guard is down and you're just in a place of vulnerability. And someone does something or says something or acts that way. And your mouth says things that it probably doesn't, shouldn't say. First class peanut. See more going to stop sign. Hurry up, you're that slow, I'll rust. But I've progressed. See, now what I do most of the time is this. I'll drive so close next to them so I can have a good look. You know the look you give them? Right? You start holy. And then you turn around and say, oh, Lord. You feel good for a minute. But that's what sin does. It makes you feel good for a minute. You went, oh, God, I stuffed up again. Oh, I'm sorry, I just said the wrong word. So what God's trying to say to me is this. Don't look. See, my wife's the opposite. She's grace. She's all grace. She lets them in. I find that really hard. She lets them in. She lets them in. She says, oh, they made a mistake. Oh, God bless them. I said, no. God doesn't want to bless their sin. God bless. Oh, well, they just made a mistake. I haven't got to that grace level yet. But I'm attaining to it. The first thing I've got to do is shut my mouth. Anyone ever have the same problem on the road? Oh, thank you, Jesus. See, I'm not the only one. I thought I was the only one going through this. 30 years of trial. 30 years. Thank you. See the grace? See? She does. Yeah, but I'm the biggest recipient. What's coming out of my mouth? Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Are we in a place to make room for God this morning? Are we in a place to make room in my house for God this morning? Say, God, let my mouth be full of grace, forgiveness, mercy. Lord, they are not my enemy. The enemy is usually the enemy. Amen. They are not my enemy. They are my blessing. They are my gift. They are my gift. So when I stand before him, he says, you shall be given an account for the gift that he has given you. A lot of people think that's a spiritual gift. It ain't. Because that's his gift. He's going to talk to me and say, how did you treat her? How did you speak to her? Did you love her like Christ loves the church? Did you die to that situation in your life to build her up? Did you wash her with the water of the word? Were you a helper to her? Attitude. Make room this morning. Let's lift our hands before the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm going to make room for you. I want me and my house to serve the Lord. I want me and my house to be a blessing to you. I want me and my house to be an example to the world. Father, I thank you that, Lord, you've made me a well of life. And out of my belly shall flow rivers of what? Hallelujah. Come on now. It ain't rocket science, this stuff. Living waters. Let them waters, Father, be living. That they would nourish, nurture. They would encourage and exhort. Father, help me. And Lord, help me to change any failing in me. I need your grace. I need your strength. I thank you, my God, in Jesus' name, that these houses, Father, that are represented here this morning will bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name I pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have some blessed soup this morning. Now don't be greedy. Let not your cup run over. And don't try and press it down, shaking together. Leave some for someone else. Amen. Do you love him? Well, I want to give you a footnote. He loves you so much. He loves you with an endless love. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week, successful week, wonderful week in Jesus' name. Amen. Gentlemen, let's pick up these chairs. In groups of eight, please. Amen. Yeah, yes.